Good morning.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, it's all too familiar. It's been definitely a roller coaster week for us and my team, and I know Eric Johnson as well, my owner. I think people don't realize how much time and effort and energy we spend with our horses and how much we love them. So when something like this happens, it's almost like losing a family member. And I wish more people would realize that. It definitely has been a roller coaster of emotions.
The attempt, of course, to save Princess Dorian, and Eric being widely recognized, he's already greatly appreciated as a professional sports athlete and the kind of ambassador that the game really appreciates, and then to basically just immediately say whatever means necessary to try to save the mare. It's so hard. And the laminitis side of this, when it comes to the weight distribution, it's an incredible challenge for them. And when it starts to go wrong, it's very rare to get it back the other way.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it was so positive for the first 6-7 days. And, we kept getting good vet reports and all that. So when this happened, it really took us by surprise and came out of left field. We thought she was really on the road to recovery, but when they found her and it starts to come in, it happens quickly. So Dr. Huggins did a great job over there at San Luis Ray Downs at the clinic over there, and everyone did as much as they could. And Eric, like you said, he's a huge advocate for the game. And the first thing he said was, whatever it takes, get this mare back to, back to health. And we'll put her on a farm and she can live a good life somewhere. And those are the kind of owners that we have and we need. And it's great that Eric has a voice and is able to use it in a positive way for our sport. Hopefully, this can be some kind of blessing in disguise of some sort and maybe help show people the compassion we have for our animals and, what we will do to go to get them healthy.
Well, we talk about Eric and his presence and he loves the game and he's so enthusiastic. He's been on with me a couple of times now and as a professional athlete, he's certainly more uniquely equipped to deal with, the great disappointment and the great thrills, and he's had both. You talk about, what a welcome, presence he is. You're a welcome presence on the trainer community front. I think, you're not even 30, right?
29. I'm 30 now. In April, I was 30, but yeah.
No, okay.
I,
all right. I knew.
I appreciate that.
I knew you were, I knew you're in your twenties, late twenties. So, I'll be 60 tomorrow. So
happy birthday.
Thank you. I remember when I was 30, but, you have made a steady increase and a steady presence, and it's interesting because you've got kind of a Bobby Frankel story developing, which is somebody that kind of came out of the grandstand as a bettor and took an interest and went ahead and got your feet dirty and your hands dirty. I mean, talk about getting a job and walking hots and how this all came about that you're even training.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely probably not the way most trainers get into the game, where their dads were doing it or their grandparents were doing it. I was on the other side. I grew up going to Hollywood Park with my dad when I was 4. I know his dad took him to Arlington when they were living in Wisconsin. And so it's kind of been something I've always been around and I loved. And when I was able to do it, and buy a couple pieces of horses and really get back here and see what went into it, I just absolutely fell in love with it. I fell more in love with the work that went on the backside more than going to the races. So, I was around it and I just said, this is something I really want to do. And, And that's what I did. I came to the barn early in the morning, and I shadowed some grooms and some hot walkers and kind of got my feet wet and did a lot of the jobs that these guys do, and saw what it took to get these horses ready to race, and really got an appreciation for it. And then eventually got my trainer's license. And that took a while. It was a process. I honestly thought it would be a little less challenging, and yet I kind of just thought you go in there, give them a couple hundred bucks, they give you a license. But it's not like that. It took me 6-7 months, and they put me through a lot of tests, which is a great thing that they did that. And we started with a couple horses, and originally I just wanted to train for myself, but then we just started to kind of have a little success, and it just kind of snowballed from there, and we grew, you know, a lot quicker than I thought. Very blessed. I feel like it's been a lot of fun. And I've assembled a good team, and I got some good owners, and I think that's all helped to get us to where we are right now.
Well, and you learned from and have had access to some people that have had plenty of success over the years, and you worked a little for Mike Pender. You've got an advisory. Potential with Janine Sahadi. Talk about where you go for advice when you do encounter things and how you approach them.
Yeah, I mean, Janine's been absolutely fantastic. She is, as if anyone knows her, she's a very tough lady. So she doesn't sing praise very much to me. It's usually criticism, but that's okay. She's a great sounding board for me. I call her, 3-4 times a week just to bounce ideas off of her or little things that come up and how she dealt with them. And she's been absolutely fantastic and a huge part to me and my development. And I really appreciate what she's done for me and continues to do for me. So having people like that, that you can kind of lean on and kind of learn from with that much experience and success that they've had, has really, really helped me a lot. So I definitely have to thank her for that.
Give us an example of something that that you've encountered as you've been learning, and as you either look at a horse or you talk to a vet, talk to a farrier. I mean, explain to people what the learning curve has been like, and what it takes to keep acquiring the knowledge, because that never ends, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I've tried to be is a sponge. I know what I don't know, and I'm happy to admit that I don't know. So when I have guys like Wes Champagne, who's our farrier over here, who I choose a lot of good horses for Baffert and guys like that, I sit there and I watch him and I look at him and I look to see what he's doing and ask questions. And I try to do that a lot. I talk to a lot of the trainers out there that I really admire. I mean, John Sadler has sat down with me. I've picked his brain plenty of times. I went to a sale. We had lunch together and just kind of just, ask questions and things like that and how you would deal with things. And, with Janine, just bouncing equipment ideas off. If, a horse is kind of high-headed and doing some things or kind of wants to stop at the wire, we'll – she's suggested going through the wire and working to the seven, just different little things that you pick up. But the one thing that it really is kind of a gut feeling that you have with your horses, because being with them every day. And the one thing I really learned is it's not really a cookie cutter method. I think I kind of was falling into that logic in the beginning, which is totally wrong. They're all so individual that you have to really individualize a program for each of them. And one thing you do for one horse might not be the same for another horse. So, I think when we started originally and had a bunch of claiming horses, I think that really helped. I saw a lot of different things that really kind of got me, I guess I got to learn a lot quickly because of the different things you get in the claiming game versus two-year-olds or buying them from Europe. So I think that really helped with my development as well.
The other part of this that absolutely you've got to explain and flesh out is finding owners and building a client base. What was your approach on that front?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's not a struggle. You just got to you know, they want you to do well. So when we started doing well, just being out there every day at the races, talking to people and knowing people. I mean, I met Eric Johnson maybe a year and a half ago at Del Mar, and we had dinner, and, you know, he didn't end up giving me horses until another year and a half later. And I think it's just being out there, and I think doing the right thing and communicating and kind of showing yourself out there. And if you're doing well, people like that. So, you know, winning does help a lot. And I've assembled a really, really good team that has helped me get to where I am. And I think that just kind of propelled us. But it does take good owners that are willing to give you a shot. And I've had some like that.
Well, and that's one of the things that has been an area of challenge. I think everybody starts out with a certain base, or you know, a support system, or you know, whatever the mechanism is. And actually, I mean, let's also be frank, you know, you've got a little financial wherewithal at this point in your life too, to that gives you some stability.
Absolutely. I mean, that 100% helps. I mean, when you can train and not be worried as much about not just the bottom line, but it's very difficult to make the ends meet here at the track. I have admiration for all these trainers because it's tough. You start in the hole, and you know, you bill your owners after the 30th, but you still got to pay for all the feed and tack and everything for those 30 days, and it's a tough challenge. And I really didn't realize how tough it is. And I had started a couple other businesses before I got into this, and I've done, you know, some different things and have had employees, and this by far is the most challenging thing I've ever done in my life. I mean, not even close. There's so many different hats a trainer has to wear, not just dealing with his employees and his horses, the owners, but there's just so many things that go on in a day that I don't think people realize. And I have great appreciation even more now for all my fellow colleagues and trainers.
Andrew Lerner with us, and the ups and downs right here since the start of the Del Mar meet, you know, the script, you got to be prepared for anything. While everybody was hopeful with Princess Dorian during the week leading into the Betty Grable, talk a little bit about preparations for the stake on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we thought she was going into it really well. I mean, this mare is so tough. She's really allowed me to try different things with her and kind of has put up with a little bit of my stupidity, has really still done well. And, you know, it's been tough because it was hard to find some places to run her. They weren't the most ideal spots. We had a runner against the boys, that worked out obviously in the Bertrando, but then we didn't really have another, but then we decided to take a shot in the Clement Hirsch, and that was just a little too deep. Then we had to come back with the boys, and then we used the 5.5 sprint race, here at Santa Anita, just kind of as a prep for the Betty Grable. And I think that really helped tighten her up. And then, you know, Flavian worked her for me, her 2 weeks before the Betty Grable. And he said, this mare is doing really well. So when we drew outside, I think that was very helpful. And, you know, Flavian put a really good ride on her. She can get a little tough in rank, but Flavian has such gentle hands. He just really put her in the right spot, and you know, when he asked her to go, she went. So that was a really exciting win. I think the team really needed that. We wanted that one, obviously, with the news of Princess Dorian about 8 hours later. It kind of dulled it, but it was still a great win for the team and the owners.
Now, Queen Bee to you. She's an old topper mare, and that alone makes you smile. Always like old topper. Calbred, obviously. Originally Tommytown. And, you know, this one making, what, the fifth start. And you've, you know, nice to inherit a stake horse, essentially, in the barn.
It was very nice. I mean, you know, Mike did a great job with her. We shared this mutual owner, Chris. So it just kind of was a fit for her to come over to my barn. But he did a great job with her, and I think we just kind of picked up the baton and ran with it. And my guys have done a very good job with her here, just getting her right every race. She's a tough little mare, but she goes out there and tries every time. So, I mean, any time a mare can make, especially, you know, over 200,000 in a year, owners are pretty happy.
No doubt. This win against, you know, some familiar names, including Sherlock's Show It and Mow It, who feels like she's been around for 7 years and is only four. It's unbelievable. Right?
I mean,
she just, and Gary's one of my absolute favorite people. does just a great job. And, you know, this is one of those horses that, you know, when you try to kick them out for a break, they scream and holler, and she just keeps coming at it. And funny, she took no money in this. All the money went to Mosi Cal, who of course had been the Breeders' Cup participant.
Yeah, all that money, they bet her down to 3 to 5 when the gates opened, and I think, you know, everyone else kind of floated up. So you got very fair value on the race.
Well, what lies ahead after this for her?
That's a good question. We're going to try to kind of map out her campaign. She really came out of the race well. So, you know, the one thing we really that's missing from her resume is a great at stakes placing. So, you know, there's a couple races that we maybe target just to try to get her some more black type, obviously to help her residual value. So we'll kind of map out her campaign, and the next day I'll go over it with my owners. And but so far she came out of it really well, and so we're hoping she's going to just continue moving forward.
Queen B to you, and she'll at the age of five get a great stake placing, and she'll be attractive as a brood mare. Certainly she's out of a Touch Gold mare too, certainly it's got a place at the very least in a Cal program or more. Let me ask you about a couple of others, including Rager, who I kept trying to build up and make a case for going into the Bob Hope. You know, it was kind of a little bit of a mystery, and I'm sure you were just taking advantage of the opportunity to run him in that spot, and why not? It wasn't going to be a big field. You know, he chased everybody home, but feels like, you know, there's some quality to him.
Yeah, I mean, we were a little disappointed with that race. We, you know, kind of like you said, we wanted to take a shot. It was a short field. We didn't think there were any standouts. Obviously, there are very nice horses. But I think he just might be more of a turf horse. He was kind of climbing. He's a little bit more of a difficult horse to train. He can be a little goofy. And the week before, I tried to put him behind a horse, get some dirt in his face, but he really didn't like it. So kind of the original plan in the paddock was to try to swing him out wide and kind of let him make one run. But he broke okay, and we kind of got pinned on the rail and forced our hand a little bit, and Martin wasn't able to get out. But he has a lot of ability. I mean, he showed it in that first race. We always liked them. I told Eric, I said, this horse can run a little bit. And he didn't disappoint us in that first race, but we still got to work the kinks out a little. He's just a young 2-year-old, obviously, and he's still learning, but he'll have a bright future ahead, I think.
Well, and, for somebody starting out, you got your share of stake runners. And if we go back to Breeders' Cup weekend, Ipidemia's Girl with another nice showing that came in the Maddie Stakes.
Yeah, she's a really nice mare, and I've always wanted to sprint her. You know, sometimes these horses that go out on the lead in these route races, when you turn them back to sprinting, I found they really can have that closing kick. Mm-hmm. And she did that. I mean, she broke a little slow, and we got into a little trouble. But Bayerano did a great job and brought her up the rail. We ran against some good horses, but I think sprinting will be a new game for her, and I think she'll do really well at that. And that was a really important greatest stakes win, or greatest stakes placing for for the owner, George Shorey, who's been around the game a long time, and I know that really helped with her value. But she's a nice mare, and I think we'll sprint her moving forward.
Nice, and no shortage of opportunities, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I do want to ask about the maiden too that placed the other day. I had where did I lose track? Where Magically Honored going back the week before Breeders' Cup.
She's a really nice filly too. I mean, she's one that she needs to be on the lead. And Martine did a good job getting her out there. We almost stole that race, but she's really moving forward and progressing. You know, we'll see her. She'll probably run at Del Mar next week, but she's training very forwardly too. I mean, Eric's really done a good job and helped me with some really nice 2-year-olds. We have another one named Absolute Weapon that we stretched out for the first time and won really nicely that Thursday before the Breeders' Cup here at Santa Anita. So, you know, he's one too that I really like and has some talent and does everything right. So, you know, the 2-year-olds that Eric has given me the opportunity to train, they've all seemed to show some ability. So we're hoping moving forward in their 3-year-old season that they can all kind of even take a further step, you know, forward.
Absolutely. When it comes to that, I mean, do you have a already? Do you have a feel for what kind of young horse you like? How many, you know, 2-year-old and training sale graduates have come your way? How many yearlings that were, you know, acquired at that time and then developed on, you know, on somebody's farm and sent your way? That's another learning curve, essentially.
Absolutely. I mean, this is really my first year with a good, solid group of 2-year-olds. And, you know, Eric had some yearlings that he bought last year that I ended up getting and a few that, you know, Rager and Absolute Weapon and a couple of the other ones, they were bought in the Breeze Up sale. So, you know, we're starting to get a lot more. I know Eric was very active at the September yearling sale, and I think we bought 10 or 12 of them, and I'm hopefully getting a few of those. But it has been a learning curve. But I think that's probably been my favorite part of training right now is dealing with the 2-year-olds and just watching them develop. And I think that's probably the most fun part of it.
Well, lots to look forward to. Any unraced 2-year-olds that nobody knows about yet?
There's one unraced 2-year-old that we had to send back to the farm, but nothing serious, but we'll be back soon. She is a American Pharoah filly for my own, Vindicate Racing and Perry Martin. They own this filly together, and she's something that we were really hoping to get her going in her 2-year-old year, but she just wasn't mature enough. So we wanted just to let her have some time to grow up, but she is a big, strong filly. And I think she's going to be really, really nice when she gets back and a 3-year-old.
What's her name?
Her name is Pharoah Lady. She's out of a Spitestown mare. They paid decent money for her. And, that filly, I think will be a very good runner.
Put her in the watch list, folks, and when she gets to the racetrack and starts to show up on the work tab, you'll know it's probably sometime at Santa Anita after the first of the year, I'm guessing?
Yep, exactly.
Well, Andrew, delighted to get you and talk about, you know, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, and the first of many visits, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I appreciate you having me on, Steve. Thank you so much and for all the support.
Not at all. Andrew Lerner, everybody, and Hammer sent me a text. He said, oh, you're going to have Andrew on. That's great. He said he's a terrific young guy and really enthusiastic and great for the game. And, you know, it is good that somebody is standing up for the Sun Devils. There, with all the Arizona graduates I have to talk about, it at least there's one Arizona State guy that can...
Yeah. Diehard. I am an absolute diehard Arizona State fan. I wear my sweatshirt proudly every day to the track. And real quickly, Rick was a huge part of me getting started because, you know, usually coming into a place like this to get stalls is very, very difficult. And I had to plead my case. And he was very generous to just give me one or two stalls to start. So huge thank you to him as well.
Well, you can follow Andrew on Twitter, Andrew_Lerner, and he's also got the website too. And in fact, you're in the web dev business on the side, right? That was one of your businesses.
Yeah, that was not as much anymore. I just take up too much time.
Well, yeah, the horses have a way of of working, making you work 7 days a week.
they do, but we love it.
Andrew's, you can also check the website out and contact him that way too. LernerRacingStable.com. Andrew, talk again soon. Maybe I'll see you at Los Al Starlet Futurity Week.
Perfect. All right. Thanks so much for having me on, Steve.
Not at all. Andrew Lerner, everybody. It's encouraging for everybody that, and yes, he's had some advantages getting started, but. It's encouraging for the young people that there's a lot of good stories to tell on that front. It might be a good story to tell here after the break. We'll come back after this, close it out with some breaking news, as it were.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Drop it. We're back at the races, about 5 minutes to fill out on this Tuesday, and I mentioned the news that is actually press conference that's going on right now at Keeneland, as the group of racetracks that back in the spring, if you'll recall, when Belinda Stronach was encouraging the rest of the industry to join the Stronach group as they scurried to fix the Grand Canyon that they had created. The outgrowth of that appears to be this new initiative that is going to be called the Thoroughbred Safety Coalition. And so Churchill, Keeneland, Stronach Group, NYRA combined, Del Mar in there as well. So they expand. No, I guess that the Breeders' Cup too has signed on, but yeah, those were the same tracks that and organizations that were to get in the spring had made the commitment to working together. So essentially, it's a companion initiative that, much like we discussed on Friday with Alan Foreman, with what the Mid-Atlantic has spearheaded and been well ahead of the curve, and the HBPA as well. Right now, there's a bunch of talking points just about, doing everything that can be done together to assure that horses that are going out to compete are prepared to do so. That's the easiest way to characterize an initiative like this. And there's quotes, you're going to see a million quotes. Keeneland's Vince Gabbert, I see quotes from him and from Drew Fleming, was taking on the job at Breeders' Cup with Craig Fravel, taking on the chief executive role at Stronach Group. The coalition will work through regulatory bodies and use house rules to put forward any needed changes. Here's another quote from, this is from Gabbert. Do we anticipate adding more members? That's not a closed group. We want people to come together, come on the board, be a part of these initiatives, help us with this effort. We're going to get to the point of knowing every step of horses from the time they're born until they retire and go on to their second careers. This kind of fills in that talking point of Todd Pletcher's that that Todd brought up when we spoke to him, and Todd has been beating a steady drumbeat on that front, from early on. The coalition would account for all the Triple Crown races and over 80% of the graded stakes as well. 14 tracks, California, Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Pennsylvania. I would say New York. Why is New York not included in among those? New York. There's only three racetracks and 30% of the handle of American racing involved. Much like what the TAA represents in the accreditation of the aftercare, a kind of a umbrella group, can't can only help and we'll see more. Obviously, we'll get appropriate parties. They do have a website set up as I sort of thumb through all this as I discuss it with you. ThoroughbredSafetyCoalition.com. There's not a lot to it as of yet. For reforms, they're discussing a lot of the things, all the things that we discussed with Alan the other day. The increase of withdrawal times for non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Yeah. Increased pushing back corticosteroids, etc. No stacking of non-steroidals. Yeah, the uniformity in rules. All good things. All the things that really, in most cases, all these organizations in the states and the regulatory bodies have been working on, you know, all the time. I mean, these are all ongoing efforts. This is something that certainly would be good to put a public face on and a uniform voice. So certainly supportive, and we'll get, depending on who the principals are, we'll get the appropriate parties to come and flesh out a lot of the initiatives. This morning, zipped by. Fun to get Andrew Lerner in here. Had the fun conversation with Dick Girardi. Thanks to Ed for the preview for tomorrow's Pick 5 at Churchill. And Andy Serling, of course, as well. Back racing in New York tomorrow. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Good luck if you're playing, everybody. Thanks.